This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Dayton Street is located in the West End neighborhood of Cincinnati, not far from Finley Market. It was once the home of Millionaire's Row, named for the mansions that were built there between 1850 and 1890. In the past few years, there's been a quiet but growing transformation going on as Dayton Street's homes are being restored. Could Dayton Street be the next Over the Rhine? Lisa Murtha addresses that question in the November issue of Cincinnati Magazine, and she joins us this afternoon along with Dayton Street residents Kim McCarty and John Valentin. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Lisa and Kim and John, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes, our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Lisa, how did the story, did you get started on this story? How did it come to your attention? What prompted you to write about Dayton Street?
So I write a lot about real estate and architecture in general in Cincinnati, and it's always a kind of a collaborative thing with the magazine. Sometimes they make suggestions, sometimes I pitch things to them. And this was one of our former editors, Linda Vaccarello, lives in the West End, and it's a place she's been watching for a long time and really has been wondering what was going on. So as she retired last year, was kind of her parting gift to me.
So Linda sees this and she says, there's something going on Dayton Street. You should look into this and write about it.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. What kinds of things did you find out as you were looking at this?
Well, I mean, the whole Millionaire's Row thing is just something I don't think a lot of people know about Cincinnati, that was kind of where all the big names lived. At one point, that was pretty far out from the core of the city. And I think a lot of people didn't know that there have been a couple different resurgences. Maybe late 70s, early 80s was one, and that people have been steadily trying to work on bringing this neighborhood not back to Millionaire's Row, but to a livable, great neighborhood.
Yeah, John, let's talk some about the history of Dayton Street. You sent me a picture of a daguerreotype, the Cincinnati Panorama of 1848. That you say has everything to do with the creation and birth of Dayton Street. Tell us about that. What is the connection?
Well, if you look at that daguerreotype online, it's at the CincinnatiLibrary.org website. And what it is, it's an 1848 panoramic view of Cincinnati that shows one end of Cincinnati to the other side, left to right. And you can zoom in on it. You can see Mount Adams. You can see over to the left where St. Peter and Chains is. You can see the downtown right on the riverbanks. You can see the riverboats there. And it shows the bustling life of the downtown when it was first emerging in its heyday in the 1840s and 1850s. And Dayton Street, of course, did not exist then. You know, everything was down there on the banks. It was all the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s architecture, all the classical Greek architecture. Mount Adams was vineyards and a couple of wineries up there. You can see that. Dayton Street was just starting to emerge at that point as everything was pushing north. They were running out of rooms. The buildings were becoming old and dilapidated. And they were looking for the new revival of Cincinnati at that point. And Dayton Street was the new thing. It was the new architecture, which was Italian architecture. And they were borrowing it from New York. It was coming from New York to Cincinnati. And Cincinnati was, you know, the brewery, the brewery district, and the meat packers were all locating in the West End, where Dayton Street is. And the people that were migrating from New York, mainly the Germans, who migrated here in the 1830s to 1850s, were bringing all of that architecture from New York with them. And Dayton Street is a perfect example of a transplant of the New York brownstones to Cincinnati. There's a huge real estate of that architecture. And it actually rivals the brownstones of New York because they had 150-foot deep lots. You didn't have the front parlor and dining room anymore with the kitchen downstairs. Now you had a 100-foot house with 10,000 square feet. Instead of building down into the ground, into the sky, you could build across a huge lot with maybe even a side yard, which changed the composition of how they dealt with windows. The New York brownstones had, what, 5 windows on the front of the house and maybe 5 on the back. Dayton Street houses are Leviathans. You have a whole bank of windows down the side of the house, which opens up, you know, the livability of these enormous houses. You know, you don't have a room in the middle of the house with no windows, dark, you know, with the light coming through the doors for windows, for light. Now you have, you know, every room has windows in it, and you have a carriage house in the backyard, with stalls for the horses to stay overnight if they needed to, and a carriage driver upstairs who tended to the yard, tended to the maintenance of the house, drove the owners to, you know, to their businesses, which were blocks away. So the downtown pushed towards Dayton Street and created it. You know, it was originally purchased by John Cleve Sims, who negotiated the original Miami purchase. And he and Jonathan Dayton, which is also...
That's how the street got its name, I take it.
That's how the street got its name, okay. And that's how the city of Dayton got its name as well. They were Revolutionary War chums, and they were basically rubbing each other's backs when they got to Cincinnati. And so Dayton Street was sold to him, and hence the name, and then it just blew up.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, like Likas was saying, that this was the home of Millionaires Row for four decades.
Yeah, well, you know, they were all sort of spread out in downtown. There were some here, there were some over there. There was no concentration of them. Dayton Street became the 19th century Indian Hill. They all wanted to be in one spot, and they wanted a place that they were all collected together. And Dayton Street became, you know, four blocks of that.
And they could walk to work. I think some of them
yes.
did. That's how I opened the story, kind of describing what it must have been like. And that was appealing.
Yes. The John Houck was just a couple of blocks from his brewery.
Right.
Yeah. Heinrich Mohauser was on Dayton Street as well. He could walk to work. You know, there were many prominent citizens that could just walk to work or a short carriage ride.
So how many homes are on Dayton Street?
There's currently about 111 homes in the inventory in the four blocks that were built a single family. There are other storefronts on the corners and that sort of thing, but there's 111 currently there.
And the thing I found amazing was that really only one has been torn down in the stretch where you live.
There's one that has been torn down in the 800 block, which is the Houck Museum block where CPA is located currently. Now, there were some that were torn down when I-75 came through.
That's true.
Because there's five or six lots down at the end meeting up against 75 that are gone. But the rest of it's intact. And that's one of the wonderful things about it is that it is intact and there's not open lots of you know, nothing there.
So right.
It's constant.
Kim, how long have you been living on Dayton Street?
My husband and I moved in early 2000.
Okay. So what do you like about the neighborhood? What attracted you to it?
I think our initial love was an attraction to architecture. Since then, we've come to appreciate that the West End as an inner city community has a lot more to offer in terms of space as a lot of inner city lots. So we may have side yards, backyards, even occasional driveways. So it's, I like to say it's mini subdivision living in the inner city.
It's a mini neighborhood, isn't it? A neighborhood inside a neighborhood is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. What are the significant landmarks along the street?
Well, the Houck House, I think, is a big one, and that has been, and John knows a lot more detail than I do, but at the moment, like he mentioned, the Cincinnati Preservation Association has ownership of it and operates it for functions, I think. And that house, you know, has stood the test of time. It was a museum at one point and open to the public at one point. So I think that's a significant one on the street.
Absolutely. It's the anchor of the street. It's one of the most prominent visual components of the street. You know, it's the first thing you see when you come off of Lynn Street, and your eyes drawn towards it immediately. It's a beautiful sandstone, symmetrical facade, wonderful carriage house in the back, beautiful English gardens. It's absolutely extraordinary. I would say the other couple of significant visual pieces of the street or the district would be the schools, Bloom School, Lafayette Bloom School, Heberly School, which both boast beautiful pieces of architecture within as well as without. They both have Rookwood pottery appointments inside. Bloom has an Olympic-sized swimming pool with Rookwood in it. They both have Rookwood fountains. They're just gemstones of what the quality of life was for these people that lived on the street then. You know, they spared no expense. Bloom School is 120,000 square feet, and it was built for middle school students. How many middle school students have an Olympic-sized Rookwood swimming pool?
Exactly. Is the Houck House open to the public, John?
It is not open to the public right now. They have seminars there. It's currently under restoration. So they're not doing much down there right now other than restoring it. The CPA acquired it, how many years ago was it? 3 years ago? Four?
Probably five, six.
Five or six. Mm-hmm. Time flies on Dayton Street.
<It's us. Yeah>.
Well, and that's why you talk about there's a slow transformation going on Dayton Street. And tell us about that slow aspect. This is being done, what, one house at a time?
Well, it's kind of here and there, I think. But Margot Werminski of the Preservation Association really spoke to that and how she feels that's kind of the key to a neighborhood's longevity is it developing slowly over time, not pushing the people who are there now out, kind of incorporating new residents with existing residents and respecting the architecture, not being in a rush to tear things down, really taking your time to work on them. And I think that really, when a lot of people try to compare, you know, Over the Rhine to Dayton Street, I think, if anything, you can say that Over the Rhine's development inspires Dayton Street's, you know, evolution. But I don't think that there's a feeling of wanting to develop in the same way as Over the Rhine has developed.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of public awareness and people's I think they're realizing that they're looking for something of substance more now than they were before. You know, in the 70s and 80s, there might have been a couple of revivals on Dayton Street, short-lived, and probably short-lived because people didn't care as much as they do now. Now they see things disappearing before their eyes all over the place. Other cities like Columbus, you know, with parking lots all over the place. And they're realizing that not only their history, but art, culture, architecture is being taken from them. And I think right now with Dayton Street, people are starting to wake up and see what was here at one time and how wonderful and great it was, and it can continue. So I think that's why it's been a slow revival with Dayton Street, is because, you know, it's just now they're starting to really realize what they had.
It is, and it's a little bit off the beaten path. And so as Over the Rhine has expanded northward, it's kind of
pushing towards us.
Yep, exactly. It's getting closer now. And I think, too, the thing to not overlook is the cost that it takes.
Absolutely.
That and the time. I think you should speak to that.
Well, yeah. The existing housing stock is large. And, I mean, you're talking, you know, some homes are 5,000 square feet, some are 9 plus carriage houses. So in an area that is economically depressed and has, you know, was pretty much left alone for so many decades, is it worth your while to go? You may be able to pick up a home for $80,000-$90,000, but do you want to put $500 in it? I mean, an area where it may sell then, you know, for $150,000. Things have definitely changed. The want of people to live in the inner city and such success downtown and over the Rhine has put a lot of people strolling through their neighborhood looking to pick up something, which is wonderful. I love that holistic development to it.
Kim, what are some of the other challenges that you see facing the neighborhood?
Well, cost is a really big one. Mm-hmm. Availability of homes is another. Lots of family homes of other transferred through estate, through wills. Lots of homes owned by banks that live out of town, and they're just pretty much forgotten. Property taxes may be neglected as well as property maintenance, so there's not a lot available. If you can shake one loose, you see the demand pretty much instant because it does get swashed up. So, and again, in addition to the cost, as I mentioned, and the availability, I think just the unknown about moving into a transitioning neighborhood sometimes can be of concern to people.
Yeah, John, what do you see as the challenges facing the neighborhood?
Well, my cup is half full instead of half empty instead of half full.
Yeah, just, wait a minute. Mine too.
I see it as a lot of delinquent property owners who either are somewhere else and don't care about the neighborhood and sort of think they're going to cash in on this big lottery ticket someday when Dayton Street comes back, and they're going to hold off to the last minute and not let anybody, you know, have the property and do something with it. There's a lot of those down there. There absolutely are. There's a lot of that all over Cincinnati. But right now, I think that's a problem we face with Dayton Street, because there's a lot of homeowners who just will not respond to people that are willing to come in and take these places on.
Yeah, does the city offer grants or programs to people who are trying to rehab abandoned property?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, so no help.
There's no help from that quarter.
There's 15-year tax abatement. That's about it.
And I think another thing that's important to talk about are those two schools that John mentioned earlier. They're kind of right on the cusp of they're vacant. They're ready to be developed. A developer in New York, Zada, owns them and is continually applying for construction loans and things like that. And throughout the course of me writing the story, I would kind of get a monthly update. They just never quite seem to be at the point where they're ready to turn those into either apartments or condos. But those are two very large spaces with a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. What other strengths do you see? That has a lot of potential. What are some of the other opportunities along Dayton Street that either Kim or John that you see?
Well, it's proximity to downtown and all of the amenities of Cincinnati. I mean, you're blocks from 75, you're blocks from UC, you're blocks from downtown.
Yeah, you are really 10 minutes from the west side, east side, Florence Mall. I mean, and Finley Market is a big one, because as Cincinnati has made downtown more walkable with adding bike lanes and improvements to sidewalk infrastructures with red bikes, it's nice. Finley Market is stone's throw away as well.
You know, the other thing is too is that it's one of the only real neighborhoods in close proximity to downtown. You have City West, and you have Mount Adams. You have UC, if you want to call that a neighborhood.
Well, it's definitely a neighborhood.
But anyway,
did you go there, John?
At any rate, well, like downtown, downtown's wonderful. We all love the city life downtown, but a lot of people like to have a yard. Dayton Street has a yard. It's like a real neighborhood, as far as you're not living on top of business after business after business with lots of noise. Dayton Street's very quiet. Mm-hmm. You can sit in your yard and really enjoy a Sunday afternoon in the quiet. You don't even hear 75, believe it or not.
And let's not give the impression that Dayton Street is one street. I mean, Dayton Street is clearly one street, but the historic district is
six or seven blocks.
Right. Beautiful collection of homes.
Yes. It was just expanded this past year.
We're in the middle of expanding it some more to Poplar Street, which is about half dozen blocks south of Dayton Street.
When did Dayton Street get that historic designation, John?
Federal was in 1973, January of 73.
So what do you see happening in the communities around Dayton Street, the neighborhoods around you that you'd like to see happen in your neighborhood?
Well, I would like to see something like what's happened with Over the Rhine come to Dayton Street. I think it needs more of a thrust like Over the Rhine has had. I tend to disagree with Kim about the slower pace. I don't think Dayton Street can afford to take too many more years to be revitalized. You know, you're talking about houses that are 140, 150 years old. Mm-hmm. Right, they're only going to last so long. There's so many of them, have been split up into apartments. When mine was split up, it was split up in the 30s, in the 40s, and my house was seven units. So if you can imagine the wear and tear of seven units until I got it in 2006, that's a lot of wear and tear on what was built as a single family house. And there's a lot of deferrative maintenance on 90% of them, It's not just a few here and there, it's most of them. And it's things like roofs with holes in them, windows that are broken out. The weather comes in, the snow comes in, you know, they aren't going to last forever. I would like to see something more aggressive come along for Dayton.
So time's of the essence, yes, as far as you're concerned.
Yes. This, you know, this is a huge concentration of the best architecture in Cincinnati. And
absolutely,
it can be lost if we don't get off of our butts and do something about it.
And there has been a lot of looting. I know John pointed that out when I was touring the neighborhood with him. Stained glass windows were stolen.
Yes.
Bathtub claw feet stolen, doorknobs stolen. I mean, these are minor things, but
they're not minor when you go shopping for them.
And they'll get bigger, too.
Right, these are a lot of valuable historical items you're talking about.
And a lot of times they aren't replaced properly, and you get these things like backwards doors with two doorknobs on it, and you can just go through a list of crazy things.
So what are your hopes for the future of Dayton Street, John?
It's revitalized in a proper manner, and that it can be one of the great legacies of Cincinnati in the Midwest, as a matter of fact, because you have to go a very long way to find it anywhere else.
Kim, what about you? What are your hopes?
I think for me, my hope would be to get a responsible homeowner in each one of these buildings, or tenant, or what have you. The neglect hurts. They're truly one of a kind, and they do not build them like this. So it would be wonderful to get someone in to put the resources in to continue to, you know, let's keep it around for another 100 years.
Do the other people in the neighborhood share your sense of urgency and agree with you that it's important to do all this?
Probably not. I don't think everyone is so concerned about the urgency on the maintenance. Most people want to see the community become a contributing factor to the city as a whole. And it's becoming that.
There's certainly a core of people on Dayton Street and surrounding Dayton Street that are concerned about, you know, the future of it. And we all work very diligently to see something happen with it. You know, that's why we had the Neighborhood Association. That's why there's the Dayton Street Preservation Foundation. That's why we developed the website, to bring it to people's attention. Because like Lisa said, it's off the beaten path somewhat, even though it's right here. It's right here, right next to downtown. Most people have no clue what you're talking about when you say Dayton
Street. You'd be surprised how many people, I said, you know where Dayton Street is in Cincinnati? They all went, what? What's Dayton Street? Never heard of it before. So
yes.
I think that's a good point, John.
One of the best streets around, and nobody knows about it. So that's what we're here for.
One of Cincinnati's well-kept secrets.
Absolutely.
So Lisa, what in terms of follow-up, do you have any plans to follow up on this story and keep track of what's going on Dayton Street?
We always do. We always keep an eye on it, and I always ask that the people that I've interviewed keep me posted. I even was getting an update in the lobby before.
Yes, she was harassing me in the lobby about what room I'm working on.
Yeah.
Are there other streets in Cincinnati that have something similar to what's going on Dayton Street?
I can't say definitively no, but I have not come across a whole
anything
lot.
Anything that's quite like this?
I think it's a really special place.
No, it's unique.
I think that one of the things that they both addressed and that you kind of asked is that it takes a really interesting group of people to bring a neighborhood like this back, and they don't all think the same. And I think that's kind of what's cool about it, is that they all are coming at this kind of problem from a different angle and with different energy.
Well, Lisa, Kim, and John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
And you'll find a link to Lisa Murtha's Cincinnati Magazine story about Dayton Street at WVXU.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show, with help from Jim Nolan. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Rick Andres was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.